on the cover. Patrick and Ryan share a warm embrace in a small, cramped office. The room is filled with assorted superhero gear, and on the desk, next to a laptop showing a satellite photo of a compound in the forest, sit two picture frames turned away from the reader. Wonderworld Comics proudly presents The Midnighters, Volume 8, Fox Hunt, Issue 3, Red Herring.
Prepare yourself, dear reader, for another gripping tale of adventure, drama, and self-discovery. This is Wonder World Comics.
So our comic opens with, it is later that evening, the day of the casino heist, at the new temporary headquarters located across the street from Varsec. In Eden, you have cracked the RFID chip that Dark Fox gave you that was inside the poker chip and unlocked it and given it back to Ryan. So Ryan, you can access all that information now. And there's been some interesting just kind of information you've uncovered during just kind of the follow-up around the casino heist at the Everizia. And although like hundreds of millions of dollars in poker chips were initially reported stolen by the Everizia security, forensic accounting has found that all the poker chips in the casino at the time, including the ones in play on the floor, the ones cashed out behind the counters, and the ones locked in the storage vaults, are accounted for. Clyde Alistair has been very uncooperative. But after the initial investigation, Varsec investigators still aren't even sure where the money was stolen from, because all of the accounts and cash reserves appear untouched. Alistair is claiming publicly that this is all just a setup by Varsec to illegally search his private business and seize his financial records. And the mayor is actually now calling for an investigation into Farsec's a possible abuse of power.
Eden's making some popcorn.
Cool. And it is, well, you are just sitting down with this popcorn and settling into some of the ongoing news coverage of the mayor's speech and the investigation he's about to launch. One of your burner phones rings, and it is a call from Shrike.
She lets it go to voicemail.
Harsh.
Whoa.
You have one missed call and one new voicemail.
I will listen to the voicemail.
Hey, it's Shrike. Just wanted to give you a heads up. We were tasked with investigating the robbery that happened at the Everizia this afternoon. And while we were reviewing the security footage, Langley strong-armed into Akina he strong-armed Akina into IDing you as the secret identity of Moonflower on the security cameras. No one's happy about it, but the long and short of it is we have a warrant out for Eden's arrest. Please call me back.
She is not going to call him back. At least not soon. She is going to go. Apparently we just have like a costume closet at our base now.
Yes. You have, yeah. This guy's closet.
Yeah, she's going to go put on a Gloriosa costume.
Nice, nice.
Because they're not looking for her.
Perfect, perfect. And what is your predecessor's costume look like? The former protege to Belladonna.
I think a lot of it's pretty similar in terms of style. Like, it's got a hood and like a domino mask. And the main differences being that her color is yellow. So it's got like yellow trim. And she, instead of using knives, has like, I mean, she has a couple knives, but she mostly uses like claws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the awesome. Costume has those. Nice. It's a pretty realistic costume. When I say costume, I think it might actually be one of her old suits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Badass. Cool. What else? Do you have anything? What is going through Eden's head as she's hears that there's an arrest warrant out for her?
I think she's annoyed, but not worried. Because it's, like, inconvenient, but she's good at moving around, hiding her identity, whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, mm-hmm. like, she has an apartment, but that's not, like, registered under her name. Like, I think it's, yeah, inconvenient. It's going to require her to be a little more careful, but she also thinks Farsec is kind of incompetent if they can't even find the missing money from the casino. And just in general,
fair enough.
She's not been impressed with their levels of competence. So,
all right, cool. And so what are you, if you're not worried about the young vindicators coming after you, what are you up to this fine evening?
Well, I mean, she was watching the news with her popcorn, but I feel like after that call, she maybe is feeling a little stir crazy. So she'll probably, you know, under the guise of being someone else, go out and, you know, just patrol around, maybe like, maybe Old Town.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. So we get a nice long panel all the way across the bottom of a page of the untouchable Gloriosa once again returning to the streets, bounding across the rooftops of Old Town into the night. And we turn the page. And Ryan, you are just returning home with your brand new unlocked and data accessible poker chip that is Dark Fox TM branded. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just kind of didn't realize that I was going home. I thought I was going to hang out with Moonflower, but because, I don't know, we're on a mission still, but I guess not.
I mean, it is getting pretty late right now. So, well, I guess.
Okay. I don't know why Moonflower gave me the chip then.
I mean,
I have a habit of
not being the data.
Okay. What time is it?
It's like after dinner time. It's probably like 7:30, coming up on 8.
When you said it was getting late, I thought you meant like midnight.
No, like
the heck is wrong with doing going home at 7:30, Michael.
Late in the day, but not like late in the night. But you now have all this data that you wanted to that should have information on this secret black site Zeta compound. And so you're headed home to share that with Uncle Patrick, was my thoughts. And unless you want to hang out with Moonflower, I guess that is also a thing you can do.
Oh, I can be railroaded. That's fine.
I mean, I'm not.
I'll go, Patrick. I'll burst in the door with like the most like triumphant expression on my face.
Awesome. The lights are off in the kitchen, but the light is on from Patrick's office down the hall, and he calls out. He says, "Hey, Ryan, is that you?"
Yep. Oh, sorry. yes. Yeah, it is. It is I.
Oh, this is perfect. This is perfect. Hang on. One second. Don't come in yet. And you hear like some like scraping around, like some furniture is being moved across the floor a little bit. So it's like, okay. I've been working on this all day, and I want you to check it out. Let me know what you think. And he like comes in the entryway and like grabs your shoulder, and you can tell he's like pretty excited. He's yeah, and leads you to his office. It's got like a new like keypad lock, number pad lock on it. And he types in your birthday and the door unlocks and slides open. And his the desk in his office has been replaced with a small table in off to one side with two chairs and a laptop. And then the walls have a whole bunch of new shelves that look like pretty much all the stuff that was in his secret superhero closet is now like laid out, ready to be accessed and used. And then the big thing is on the back wall. There are two mannequins side by side, and one of them has his monitor superhero outfit, and the other one has your Mighty Briar suit on it.
Oh, he's so cute and lame. I love him. Yes. I gotta like wave the chip around like, yes.
I mean, I know it's not much, but you know, I figured if we're gonna be, you know, working together, we might as well do it right. Plus, it feels good to have, you know, this part of my life just out in the open. Yeah, so he sits you down by the laptop. He's all really excited to show you how he's got like a hardwired connection to his base computer and like the bunker downstairs. So it's like wired into all of that data and information. And
do you have a lock on that too? Because I was talking to Moonflower and she said that like it's not secure, our internet isn't secure or something. I don't really understand how it works.
Oh yeah, no. The internet we get from our ISP is shit, but I have a fiber line that I wired in myself.
But is that the same one you were using before? Because she apparently knew that you were the monitor before I did.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, and she is Belladonna's sidekick.
I don't think you should ever call Moonflower anyone's sidekick.
Sorry.
Definitely not to her face.
It's a term from the old days, I guess. He turns back to the laptop, and next to it on the desk are two photographs that are framed. And the first one is of you and Patrick on the night after you won your first roller derby tournament. What does that look like?
I feel like Ryan is a little bit younger, so has like braces and like her hair is longer, and she like, yeah, doesn't have like as many muscles, but is still like taller than Patrick.
Oh yeah, by a lot.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And same kind of like big grin that he normally has, but like a little bit more awkward.
Lovely. And then the second one is a smaller photo, and it's a blurry Polaroid, really old picture of a man leaning against like the railing on what looks like the deck of an aircraft carrier, looking out over the ocean at sunset. You can't see like a lot of detail. It looks like he's got like something maybe like tattooed on the back of his neck, but it's kind of hidden under his hairline. But just like based on the angular jawline and the like scruffy 5 o'clock shadow, you're pretty sure it's the same guy that Uncle Patrick had his arm around in the photo you have.
Have I ever seen this photo before? Like, was it in his office before he turned it into superhero
face? It was not. It was probably we can retcon and say it was next to the one you nabbed in his superhero.
Oh, that's cool. Now I wondered if it's something that Ryan has like seen before, but never connected to the one that he saw. But Ryan is immediately going to say, "Who's that?"
His name was Ian.
Was?
He died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mission overseas in Russia, Siberian tundra, ordered to raid an off the books research secret lab, you know the drill. Just delete the data, destroy the backups, leave. Ian, he's like you. He had powers. He's special. The product of this, some secret government organization way back in the day. He didn't like to talk about it much. We got to the base, got inside, and discovered that it wasn't a rogue Russian science operation. It was a U.S. science base continuing their asset program. Ian went ballistic. He was told he was the only one they ever made, that they'd shut it down. And to find out that there were more people who had gone through what he had, he went rogue. Made a list of all the names he remembered from the facility and started crossing names off the list. He was shot in the head outside of a government facility about 20 years ago.
I'm gonna hug him.
He hugs you back real tight. He says, but after I got out of the military, I decided to see if I couldn't at least try and finish what he had started, or at least set it right or something. Called in some favors, followed up on some leads, and that's how I found you.
Well, then he's like one of my favorite people.
Me too, kiddo. Me too.
I'm gonna like push it like push the photo of Ian like closer to the photo of me and Patrick so that it's mm-hmm. like right next to it.
That's cute. What do you got for me? You sounded pretty excited when you came in.
I negotiated with Dark Fox himself and got this information. Yeah. It was pretty cool. Unfortunately, nobody else was there to see it.
But I believe you though. It must have been pretty sick.
It was. He was lame. I was cool. Anyway, yeah, so he gave me the location on this little Moonflower said it should work now. She like decrypted it or uncoded it or something.
Perfect, perfect. He pops it into a little RFID scanner attached to his laptop. And pulls up just a whole treasure trove of files that are all have their own dot Dark Fox file extension.
Oh my god!
that you're able to open, but there's aerial photographs of this location at these coordinates. It's deep in the middle of like some national forest. Like dozens of miles away from the nearest road. And then there's other like clear surveillance shots, much closer, much more detailed than anything that Patrick had found so far. And then there is also this security footage of this child in the room. But it's been cleaned up and it's like the whole thing. And you can see that there's like this kid with long, dark hair, really scrawny, look like they're maybe like 8 or 9 years old, kept in this like very plain Spartan cell. And they get like taken out by these two scientists who like strap them down to a gurney. And what, like, memories does this bring up in Ryan? Do you remember any of your time at a facility like this, or?
Yeah, I think there's probably, like, a moment on the panel where, like, Ryan's watching this footage of this, like, kid, and the kid maybe like turns to face one of the surveillance cameras and it's just like, it's Ryan. Like it's young Ryan. Mm-hmm. I think that's what she's seeing. Like, I think, mm-hmm. yeah, they're like, they don't, I guess I'm kind of like basing this a little bit on myself because I mean, I wasn't experimented on as a child, but like, I don't remember anything mm-hmm. from when I was younger, even mm-hmm. when I was a teenager, I didn't really remember stuff. So like, I think Ryan doesn't really remember, just like knows that this stuff happened and has like a feeling of it, but oh. like seeing somebody else going through it, they just kind of like see themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as they are wheeled out of frame and the camera just sits on the empty cell 32, Patrick turns to you and says, well, looks like we have a mission to plan. And we turn the
I think
page. Oh. Oh, sorry. No, if you want to keep going, that's we could
I just have one question for Patrick.
Yeah.
I think Ryan like pulls their eyes away from the screen and sort of like looks at him and goes, "Do you know who is doing this?"
I have some pretty good ideas. There are a few names on Ian's list still that I've been investigating. There's a Dr. I that is referenced a lot. And it's written on the comic page, like the letter I, not like E-Y-E. sight eyes. Dr. I mentioned in a lot of notes Charles Langley and Andrew Culver.
That's weird. Isn't Langley the Fawcett guy?
One and the same.
That was just, that's my deal with Dark Fox. I have to expose them, whoever they are.
Well, that's certainly going to kick up a shitstorm. You sure you're ready for that kind of attention?
Maybe that's a good thing, though. Maybe there needs to be a shitstorm about this.
You're not wrong.
Dr. I and Langley and Culver, like, take them down if they're the ones, you know?
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay.
Turn the page and Kaylee freaks out. What? Andrew? Excuse me? What? You were right not to take strike call.
Yep, that's why she did it. Not for pettier reasons.
Cool. And where is Eden? What if we get give us a quick like few panels of just Eden out on the prowl blowing off steam. What does that look like? Give us some action shots.
Yeah, so I think she stops like 3 burglaries and an arm still. And after each one, after she's like apprehended the people, she'll like call Farsec and submit an anonymous tip and then hide and see how long it takes them to respond and then judge them for it. And I think also when she stopped this arm still, she decided maybe she could keep one of the, like, she doesn't know exactly what it does yet. There's kind of a nice looking gun there.
Oh no.
Like a ray gun type thing. So I think she's maybe just hanging out on a rooftop waiting for the incompetent Farsec people to get there while examining this gun she has stolen. I think she's considering, she's in Old Town right now, I think she's considering going back to Midtown and like the security footage at the Avarizia's was like wiped, but maybe there's something was caught on a video of a nearby building, but I don't know. She's thinking about going over there, but it does seem like kind of a pain to comb through all that.
And well, you are mulling over your options. You just very faintly hear a familiar swoosh of metal through the air, followed by like feet landing on the next building over. It's really quiet, but you still pick up on it. Looks like Shrike has landed on the next building over.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When she chose to dress up as Gloriosa, she knew Shrike would know it was her.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to talk to him or acknowledge him. But, like, in a way that he's going to know she knows he's there.
Oh, yeah, obviously. She knows that he knows. And she also knows that he knows that she knows that he knows.
At some point, the knowing will stop, but it's embedded pretty deep.
But needless to say, it goes all the way down.
I don't know that it goes all the way down. I think there may be some things that are unknown.
We don't know yet what is unknown.
You can't know the unknown. This is by definition unknowable. Shrike kind of steps out in kind of the light of the edge of the roof and says, listen, can we talk?
I mean, sure.
Like, I know you didn't rob a casino. Oh, what the hell were you doing there?
Remember when I called you the other day and you said you were too busy, and then I went and tried to stop Dark Ox by myself?
Yeah, you
also,
said
apparently
you
were the casino didn't even get robbed, according to, you know, like in the official report. So apparently no one robbed it.
So instead of breaking into Farsec, you decided to go stop a robbery?
I've stopped like 3 robberies tonight. It's not that big of a deal.
You're not making this any easier for me, you know?
I wasn't aware that was my priority, is to make it easy for you. And by the way, you should just be glad that I'm not, like, releasing rats into the Young Vindicator's headquarters vents right now. Editor's note, the only reason she's not doing that is because she thought she could do better on the revenge front.
Drew kind of does scoff at this. He smirks a little bit. Listen, if you can't... You are hunting down Dark Fox?
Have been for a while.
What was Dark Fox doing at the Avarizia? Oh. Do you have any proof that he was there?
What do you think? You know, the only reason Akina even knows my identity is because I tried out for your stupid little club.
Yeah. And you notice that Drew is looking very uneasy. His, his head is kind of like tilted down. You can't like see his eyes through his visor, but his head is like, keeps kind of shifting his field of vision a little bit.
Aiden's gonna... I mean, she is gonna notice that. And I think she's gonna stand up to leave.
And as you get up to leave, you notice, Shrike, looks down and, kind of turns away a little bit. And that's when you see Akina and Swift on the roof opposite coming in to capture you.
Betrayal. No. So much
betrayal. No one saw it coming.
I would like to assess the situation.
Absolutely. Give us that roll.
That's a 12.
All right. That is a great way to start things out this evening. Excellent. So you get 2+1 questions from the following list. What here? Can I use the blank? What here is the biggest threat? What here is in the greatest danger? Who here is most vulnerable to me? And how can we best end this quickly?
Can I start by... So, I'm on the roof. Shrike's on the roof. Swift and Akina are...
on the building across the street.
Okay. So, what here can I use to... slow Swift down? My first question.
Hmm. That is a great question. So I think there's a like a water tower nearby, and like one of the pipes running into like one of the houses, like the house below, comes down like onto this roof, like right where Swift and Akina are gonna like make their super jump landing. And if you could like burst the pipe and throw like one of your I don't know if you have like a cryo knife or something. You could potentially freeze her in place with that.
Okay.
You know, one of your, to go along with your patented smoke knives and whistling knives.
Yeah. So how can we best end this quickly? And I think for Eden, that means getting away from these people that she does not want to talk to or be captured by.
Ooh. Ooh, that is going to be tricky. So I think the best way to end this quickly is, so the biggest problem is, Drew was the bait. Akina and Swift are coming in as the hammer, which means that, Lady Just is going to be around somewhere to be the anvil on this trap. And, like, the young Vindicators have got quite a few heavy hitters on their team. So the best way to end it would be to, like, evade them. Or, like, if you could, like, set them, you know, on the wrong course and hide somewhere else, or use your better knowledge of the city or something to double back and, like, you know, make yourself scarce. It's going to, yeah, it's going to have to be something where you, like, outwit them, because there's not really a way you see that you can like overpower them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to save my last question. And Eden is in very quick succession going to do the thing with the cryo knife that, sure, that exists now.
Mm-hmm.
And she also, I don't know what this gun I have does, but she's aiming it at Shrike's wings.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa.
She doesn't even feel bad about it.
Yeah, what? I would not feel bad about that.
Oh my God.
Boy betrays girl, is upset when girl retaliates. This
girl
is
breaks the law. Boy who works as law enforcement is heartbroken. Yeah, I know. It's a bad situation all around. No one's happy about it.
I don't think anyone except you is on Drew's side here, just so you know.
I mean, I'm not saying you guys are wrong either. yeah, it sounds to me, I mean, it's probably directly engaging a threat is what it sounds like.
Okay.
Well, let's do, okay. Cause there's kind of a couple things going on. Let's do the knife thing first. Which I think I could be persuaded to be an Unleash Your Powers.
Okay.
Or, I mean, are you trying to just like...
Well, so she, not to give away the plan too much, I think she is trying to slow down the Young Vindicators enough that she can enact phase two of the plan.
Excellent.
So I think for her, that's going to mean slowing them down.
Okay, cool. That sounds...
three of them.
Yeah, it sounds like you are unleashing your powers of planning and tactics then, if this is just phase one of a two-phase plan.
That's really unfortunate, because my danger is higher.
I mean... cool.
Oh, yep, that's a six.
Ooh, okay. 3 and a 2 plus 1. I love to see it. So the cryo knife works. And you hit the water pipe and it bursts and this like freezing mist gets like goes like spraying everywhere and just like covering everything around it in thick sheets of ice. And but Swift has a lot of momentum and gets knocked off balance as she's coming in and just slips right across the surface and goes tumbling into you as you start firing the assault rifle at Drew. Or, yeah, at Shrike and his wings. So you get to mark potential. And Drew, however, is going to, he's going to, swing his wings so the, flat metal parts are blocking the bullets and protecting, the mechanics in the backpack and stuff. And just yells, don't make this harder on yourself, Eden, and throws, a bolo that wraps itself around your legs. And, you are just, tangled up on the ground now.
Just my legs are tangled up.
Just your legs. And also Swift.
Yeah. Well, I still have one assess the situation question.
You do.
So I'm going to ask, what here can I use to get out of their sight for, 1 minute? That's all I need. And preferably back to ground level.
Right. Excellent. So I think as you came tumbling to a stop and then had got the bolo wrapped around you and you trip, you're kind of wound up on this skylight above it's kind of an open sort of mall, a mini mall underneath you. And so it kind of opens into the atrium. So you're a couple floors up above this kind of open flat area where, they have the mall Santa and stuff. But you could totally shatter that with your dagger. And during the fall, you could probably slip your legs out and then, figure out a way to break line of sight somewhere inside this mall. And, yeah. Try to make an exit. Oh, you know what? Actually,
oh my god, it is a robot.
You get plus one to your roll because you're acting on the information you gained from your
situation. I already accounted for that. It's still a six.
God damn it. Okay, never mind. I thought I had finally remembered.
No, okay. I did remember. I really wanted that roll to work.
Okay, unrewind. Okay, cool. Yes, so you can use your knife to potentially shatter this window and fall to an escape.
And we turn the page.
Perfect. We turn the page. Man, you guys are so... You guys have already ruined my plan so much. I'm trying to find the right section of my notes.
What did I do? I didn't do anything.
I just got railroaded. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, by you. You were the one who railroaded.
No, no.
That was your plan. You wanted me there. I went there. What do you want from me?
Usually it's Eden that's ruining everything, but...
Or Eden.
No, it's totally
it's
fine.
Really trying to ruin everything, to be honest. Like,
I mean, he doesn't really have a choice.
You always have a choice. I have an idea for... Okay.
Oh, yeah?
No, if you want to do... if you didn't know what you wanted Ryan and Patrick to be doing, but you go.
No, I do have an idea. Unless you have an idea you would also like to do.
But. I mean, my idea can be done whenever, so you go.
Okay, well, my idea was it is now mission planning time phase with Uncle Patrick, the monitor, and Ryan, the mighty briar. So what does that look like for you and Patrick?
Look, Ryan, planning is not Ryan's strong suit. I'm assuming that there's like two computers.
Yeah.
That Patrick is working on one actually working, and Ryan is working on one not actually. Like, she's like got a Google search bar up and then just kind of like looks over at Patrick's screen and sees like all of these numbers and things happening, and she's just like, So then she like closes the laptop because she's like, this is not my strong suit. And instead gets out like a pen and paper and starts to draw like a rectangle, which is supposed to be the base. And then there's like a little cactus, which is him. And there's a little bicycle, which is Patrick. But the bicycle, because drawing bicycles is so hard, does not look like a bicycle. And then there's a little like flower, which is Moonflower. And and then he's like draws some arrows from all those symbols into the base and writes an exclamation point.
And Patrick kind of sits back and watches you draw for a little bit, smiles and says, all right, looks like we have a pretty good start of a plan right here.
Are you talking about mine or yours? Because
no, yours. And I'm being serious. So we have a mission, and we have this base here in Blends of the Rectangle. Because all right, so we need to get in, and we need to get out. And we need people who can help us. So, looks like we got Moonflower here. Yeah.
When he says get out, Ryan's like, oh, yeah. And then draws an arrow out of the building.
Good, good. Patrick is nodding along in approval. So it looks like you got you, me, and Moonflower here. Who all do you want on your team for this mission? I can call in Mother Owl or Arrow Ace if you want them, but this is your op.
I feel like I was thinking like we need Mother Owl, but maybe not like there. We need her to like be ready to like, I mean, I don't know if it's just one kid in there or if there's more, but like I was thinking that she could. And then, like, draws a third arrow from, like, the arrow that goes out and then an arrow from that arrow towards a little owl symbol and then, like, draws some little, like, kids' stick figures.
Patrick nods and says, good, good, yep. I will let her know that we may have... Some extra survivors bring in. Okay. Let's take a look at this base. And he pulls up some of the satellite images And it is vaguely rectangular shaped. There are no roads going in or out of it. But it is in kind of a small clearing. Away from, and it looks like there's just like some low concrete buildings, bunkers. There's a lot of that, like, kind of green camouflage netting, pulled over stuff. But you can see people moving between buildings and stuff in some of the images. Patrick says, all right, so how are we going to get into here?
I don't think you'll like my idea for that.
Oh?
Well, like, they used to have me in there, right?
Yeah. Well, base like this.
So would they want me back in there?
And Patrick just kind of like sits up like a bolt of lightning went through him. It's just like, no, we're not doing that.
I said you weren't going to like it. It's just like, if I was in there and I could help you guys get in from the inside, like, and I would know the sort of like layout of like where the people were kept and where the information we need for Dark Fox would be kept, and like.
And, Patrick is just kind of like chewing on his lip nervously. It's just like, you don't have to go through that again, you know? We can find another way. We could airdrop into it.
I just don't want, I guess I would rather just go in knowing I could get out then try to fight our way in, and then maybe we get captured anyway, or maybe somebody that we're trying to save gets hurt, or we miss somebody because we didn't know where they were being kept.
And Patrick like takes a heavy sigh and kind of rests his forehead in his hand. And, all right. Said it was your op. So then, if you're going in and you're finding our targets, how are we getting you out?
Well, so I have these, and the, like, brambles kind of like snake out of the tattoo and like wave, and Moonflower has, how do I put this, Moonflower has exploded some stuff. I guess I had never really been around her when she's used explosives before, but they seem like pretty good.
I love Ryan. Well, I have these.
Like, I can, like, I'll be able to, like, you know, plant a little path for you guys, and or like, you know, send my brambles up through the vents and like wave to you so you know where we are and stuff, or like, you know, Moonflower will be able to like kaboom, explode, or even KT, but KT also sometimes explodes like the things you don't want to get exploded.
Right, right. We only want to explode the things that we know we want to explode.
Yeah.
He nods sagely.
And then you can ride in on your bike with one of those like little trailers behind it. We would put all the kids in there.
Riding a bike through the woods is going to be difficult.
Well, we can't get a car in there. You got a plane? Helicopter?
No, but I do have a pilot's license.
I bet Moonflower could get us a plane. Or a helicopter.
All right. And Patrick has kind of been like taking notes. He's kind of like taking a cue from you and has pulled out his own kind of like notebook paper. And he's got like sticky notes. Like he's already got sticky notes like all over the screen of his laptop, even though there's like a sticky notes app on the laptop. But he starts kind of like attaching sticky notes to this little map and writing kind of like notes and like follow up with Moonflower, follow up with Mother Owl and start. And it's kind of starting to look like a little like baby Moonflower conspiracy board as you're getting your plan together.
Somewhere Moonflower shivers. She pictures this disorganized mess being compared to her.
It's cute. I like it. Oh, cool. And as we kind of get a shot, kind of like a ceiling perspective of this new little superhero office that Mighty Briar and the monitor are sharing. And then we can see on the laptop screen just the face of this kid staring up into the camera, peering out from the curtains of their long, dark hair. And we turn the page. Moonflower, how are things going?
Do we feel like her cutting off, like, the stuff on her legs is within her skill set?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And you've got like a good 30 or 40 feet to fall. So you've got plenty of time to get that done.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on my, well, so I actually would like to go over the like edge of the roof instead of through the skylight. I don't know if that's doable.
Yeah. Yeah. We can arrange that.
Okay. Okay. So am I making it to the ground?
Let's say you can go through the skylight and like land on a third floor like interior balcony and then make a dash through a store to like an exterior window and make a break there down to the ground.
No, that won't work.
That won't work? Okay. Yeah, no, we can just jump off the building or fall down a fire escape or something.
Fire escape works.
Fire escape? Sweet.
Okay. So I told you, she only needs not very much time. I'm just going to tell you what she is planning to do, which is to ditch the outfit and pretty much everything on her, like, I don't know, down a sewage, down a garbage chute, whatever's handy.
Mm-hmm.
And before she lets go of her knife, she is going to cut the palm of her non-dominant hand. And we decide we're at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to go in the mall. And be a civilian in the mall. And wait for the young Vindicators to follow her.
Excellent. Cool. Yeah, it doesn't take Swift very long to recover and make it down to the ground and do a quick patrol of the area as everyone else, the other three young Vindicators, alight upon the ground. And you can see them, like, talking and beginning to kind of spread out. Shrike takes to the skies to kind of sweep the area from outside, and Akina and Swift start making their way through the building. It looks like Lady Just is kind of moving around the exterior of the building, staying on ground level.
Is her name Lady? I thought her name was Miss Justice.
Miss Justice. Lady Just. It either. Yes. Both.
Okay.
We'll fix it in post.
Sorry.
No, you're not wrong.
Is this still Cassie or are we?
Yeah. No, it's definitely still Cassie. Yes. So that is what they are up to.
Eden is going to buy an ice cream cone and wait for someone to approach her.
It doesn't take long as you're kind of hanging out in the food court. Akina does kind of spy you hanging out, kind of leaning against a pillar in the food court, and approaches you very non-threateningly.
And I was gonna eat ice cream.
She's going to kind of stop and kind of lean on the pillar, like a couple feet away from you. Say, well, you don't look too concerned.
Eden's going to ignore her.
Listen, we're getting pressed hard by Langley and Governor Jorgensen. We need something to clear your name. I don't want to do this anymore, all right? But unless you can give us a reason to stop chasing you, we're going to have to take you down. You know that, right?
Whatever helps you sleep best tonight. And if you want me, take me in.
Kina says, really? You'll surrender willingly?
I'm not surrendering, but I look a little outnumbered. So if you want me, take me in.
All right, then. Eden Holly, I have a warrant to bring you in for questioning. And she moves to kind of like grab your wrists and restrain them so she can cuff you.
This is where Eden starts screaming at the top of her lungs. And she has this cut on her hand. She kind of emits flailing, wipes it like across Akina's face, so like Akina's got her blood on her, and she is just like screaming bloody murder, like she's absolutely terrified, and she didn't do anything, and why are they harassing a citizen?
Oh goodness.
I would like to know, are you watching closely?
Oh goodness, of course you would.
That's really on you for not seeing that coming.
I mean,
it's almost like he knew something was being planned.
It's almost like he didn't want Akina to do the thing and fall into the trap, but he had to.
Someone's hand is getting forced. All right. Give us that roll.
Do I have a situational bonus from assessing the situation on this one, or just a flat roll?
I don't know that any of your questions really apply, but
that's fine.
Kapow! Damn. Two sixes plus two.
I feel like I earned that one.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So on a hit, you get to pick what? Three options from that list?
I sure do.
Oh goodness.
Michael, if it makes, like, for your grand scheme of things, I'm okay with her actually getting taken in here. I just want the young Vindicators to look and feel very bad.
Oh, they will. They will. Oh, my goodness.
I will say from this list, I would like to expose a weakness or flaw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would like to avoid further entanglement in that, like, this looks as convincing as, like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The people at the mall do not, at, you know, a later point, catch on that.
Right.
That the citizen is not being violently apprehended.
Okay, cool. So you avoid in further entanglement that, like, with being discovered that this was a ruse of some sort. It is very convincing.
Yes.
Cool.
And I, again, like, I don't necessarily feel the need to escape here, but I would like an opportunity for something.
For sure. And so you start making a scene, and Akina starts yelling and shouting like Farsight commands. Swift comes rushing in. Civilians are just freaking out. Everyone's pulling out phones and cameras and taking pictures. You're like struggling, and there's like blood everywhere on the ground now. And it is just a huge spectacle. And finally, like, Akina's wrestling you to the ground. Finally, Shrike has to swoop in through the skylight and finally break it. And just kind of like lands on your back and is the one who finally cuffs you. And as they drag you out to like the waiting squad car, there's just tons and tons of cameras all over this, and it is like almost immediately goes viral of this like teenager who was violently arrested by the Young Vindicators. He used extremely excessive force, and people are pissed. And we get some news footage of Eden being like pushed into the squad car and crowds yelling and throwing things at the Young Vindicators. We see like follow-up talks about how like news anchors talking about how there have been more and more violent protests in the wake of these unjust arrests. And as this is all kind of overlapping, we get all these like overlapping voices in each other over each other. They kind of fade out. And we turn the page and we see the face of Clockwork. And he is like strapped down to like a bed in some sort of highly advanced security facility, listening to just like a simple radio that's broadcasting these news stories with a very, very concerned frown on his face.
Wonderworld Comics is an actual play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brendan Conway. This issue was GM'd by Michael Dunham, who can be found on Twitter at GalvanicMan. Moonflower is played by Kyra Nelson, who can be found on her Twitter at Kyra M. Nelson. Mighty Briar is played by Kaylee Newberry, who can be found on their Twitter at Kaylee_Newberry. Wonderworld Comics is produced by Michael Dunham, and it is edited by Michael Dunham and Kaylee Newberry. The music is from Dvorak Symphony No. 9. Do you have questions or comments? You can get a hold of us on Twitter at WWComicsPodcast or send us an email at WWComicsPodcast@gmail.com.